We haven't even touched corporate worship yet, and Blake is about to go off.
This is the Staff Podcast at First. Join us each week as we discuss the topics that are on our minds: marriage, social media, parenting, or topics that you ask about. Pull up a chair. This is the Staff Podcast at First.
Let's kind of move on to the last part of the spiritual disciplines we want to talk about today, and that's the corporate part, which I think, Blake, you're about to shine here because corporate worship is a spiritual discipline. The act of us coming together, singing together, praying together, hearing the word together, and Blake, you have a unique position where you get to be a leader in that. Talk to us about what, from your perspective, what it's like to stand there on that stage, because we know it's not about you,
right,
and we understand that, but what is it like for you to stand there on that stage and to watch 900 people on a Sunday morning in a service, corporately worship?
It's incredible, to be honest. One of my goals on Sundays is to kind of disappear. I don't want any attention drawn to myself. I want to connect people with God and let them have that experience in worship. In that moment, I get to worship. It's kind of twofold. I get to lead people, but I also get to worship. And so when I see other people worship, that just fuels the fire. It gets me excited. I just want to just keep going. I want to keep worshiping more when I see other people worshiping our God.
What would you say to somebody like me who is not all that
good at singing?
Well, one, good at singing.
Sorry.
But like when it comes time to worship,
you're not expressive.
I'm not expressive. My hands go in my pockets. I'm going to sing. I get distracted when other people start doing other stuff.
And not a charismatic.
But I'm not that kind of person. But I'm still worshiping. But if I came to you and I said, "Look, Brick, I want to be more expressive. Is it weird that I want to raise my hands? Is it weird? I mean, what would you tell me to kind of help me to be a little bit stronger in that area?"
Yeah, I would say that no, it's not weird. I think that Scripture tells us how to be expressive in worship. If you read through the Psalms, it tells us a lot of different places to clap, to lift our hands, to bow, to sing, to shout, to dance. It tells us all these things that we are to do in worship.
Right.
And I know those things can be kind of strange at first. It feels like, you know, you don't want to do that. And I was that way for a long time. Like, I would get the first couple of times I ever sang in church, like my knees shook so bad that I couldn't even like move. Like I was, and so I finally just kind of released myself to just be used by God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this moment is not about me, yeah, in any way. This moment is everything that I can give to God. And so I want to be as free as I can possibly be in that moment.
Right.
And so if you're leading me to lift my hands, if you're leading me to drop to my knees and put my face on the floor, then that's what I'm going to do.
If I never get to that point, am I wrong?
I don't want to say the word that you're wrong, but it does tell us specifically in Scripture that these are things that you should be doing. So I think that's something that we need to work towards, being obedient to the word that God has given us. And when you do, if you can get there and you can get to a place of freedom and worship, it's just such a sweet time,
right,
where you're just unhindered by anything. It's not about you over here. It's not about you over here. It's not about me. This is just, what can I give?
Right.
Yeah.
And so when you can get to that place, it's just, your worship is different. And I don't know how to explain it other than just it's a different level.
So if I'm a new Christian, new follower to Christ, or even I've been doing it for a while, what do you think, what would be the best advice you would give somebody coming into corporate worship who just needs to know where to start? Would it be let yourself go? Would it be watch the room and just do what they do?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Because I think people who are new to it, they walk into a room, they don't know what to experience. They don't know what to think.
Right.
Is it watch the room, do whatever you want to do? Is there an etiquette?
I think, yeah, there is some etiquette. I think you want to be free But at the same time, you want to be conscious of those around you. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be a distraction.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody just gets distracted by any kind of movement, mm-hmm. you can't really help that.
But
you don't want to be distracted. So, like, I don't want to start running back and forth across the stage or because that would probably be distracting for some in the room. Probably made myself a little uncomfortable doing that too. So, I would say ask God where he's leading in this moment of worship.
Yeah.
Hmm. What is this song saying? What are the words of the song? How should I respond to God in this moment?
Right.
And it should all be centered around that, my response, depending on the song that we're singing. If it's the song, I love the song, Oh Praise the Name. And it just tells the story of the gospel. And then the chorus is just simple, Oh Praise the Name of the Lord our God. And so I can't really help but in that moment just to lift my hands. And because we've sang about this truth of the gospel,
right?
And seeing what God has done, and to just declare praise and let everything just kind of pour out of me. And so I'd say just kind of, you don't want to just copy somebody and just right. do things just because other people are doing them, but really just let yourself be led by God.
I think one of the things that we've talked to our students about is you want to be free without being forced or fake, mm-hmm. right? And the question, when we feel hindered against doing something, I think we have to ask ourselves the question, what is hindering us? What is causing us not to want to do it? Is it something that we think someone's going to look at us in a certain way when we see that? And if that's the reason, that's probably not a great reason. You know, we want to make sure that, like Blake was saying, that we're communicating with God. God, how can I bless you in this time of worship? Sort of thing. So,
you know, the worship between the student ministry and the adult ministry corporately looks very, very similar.
Yeah.
And then you get over to the children's ministry, and it doesn't look, one of the things I love about worship at this church is that it doesn't look different necessarily from the children's ministry on up to the senior adult ministry. But there are different ways that the children's ministry worships as opposed to, I know my sixth grade son is still doing hand motions and all kinds of different things, and they get into seventh grade, there's not a single hand motion anywhere, unless we're raising our hands. And then outside of that, so talk to us a little bit about the children's ministry.
Yeah, so from a long time ago when I first started in ministry, someone told me that basically something along the same lines of John of don't force any kid to dance or sing, but also allow them to do those things. And so I've always introduced a slow song, a worship song we call them, and then a dance worship song, which we do. So we always do a dance type, motion song, and then we will stand and sing, because we try to teach them, even as young as kindergarten in the Kidsmen, we do a standing and singing song only, because I talk to them about this is our response to God. This is how we, can show him or tell him that we are, thankful for him, or that we can, listen and learn from him. And so I never make a child sing or dance, but they do have to stand up. And so that's kind of what we do, which is also not forcing them to do anything they don't want to do, because that can scar them. If they're forced to do something at a young age, they ain't ever going to want to do it. So I try to allow them to kind of do what they want during the worship time, within reason, and allow them to not just jump around, because that's fun, but that's sure. not worship forever. It's not. And so we try to teach them, it's okay to stand still and sing. Mm. And it doesn't have to be boring either,
right.
Right.
No yeah. doubt. If you were to give somebody a suggestion for a resource on spiritual disciplines, I know I've got a book called The Celebration of Discipline by a guy named Foster, which I think is a great book. And it talks specifically about some of the stuff that we've talked about today. But I think that's kind of a top tier, top level type, for somebody who's really been doing this for a while, that's probably a great book. But others of it may be, My Utmost for His Highest. Where would you tell somebody to start to just begin to practice some of these disciplines that maybe they're not practicing in their lives?
One for me goes back to the word and reading scripture. It's an app called the Read Scripture app.
I like that app.
I've started using that because you told me about it, and I love it. It's just, you can go at your own pace. It takes you through the Bible, but then it's also got videos that go along with it to kind of explain if you're not really grasping it from the text. You mm-hmm. can watch those videos. And
my daughter has just started on that app, and she's really enjoying it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What about you, John? Where do you tell students just to start?
You know, we can tell them a book, but in today's culture, they're especially students, they have so much homework and books that they have to read for school, and so the likelihood of them reading the Bible plus another book is very low, and we just have to admit that. So what I tend to try to get them to do is to connect with someone who is further down the line than they are, a more spiritually mature Christian. It could be someone that is their age, but it could be a college student, it could be an adult, it could be a small group leader. And I try to get them, like, you know, to talk to them. Hey, how do you do your quiet time?
Which is actually a spiritual discipline.
Yeah, guidance. Exactly. To take that guidance. So we try to get them to understand that there's value in relationships and learning from other people and seeing what they're doing. And if you have a place where you're weak, find someone who's strong there and go ask them what they do and how they've done it. Because they probably haven't always been strong there. There was probably a process for them to get there. So I like to learn from other people, and we try to get our students to do the same thing.
What about you?
We don't really talk about spiritual disciplines as much as a spiritual discipline in children's ministry. Right. That's just too broad, really, especially because if you say the word discipline, they're done, like, because it's such a negative, word. So, but we do teach them, and so we try to just teach them, you know, what is worship or what is mm-hmm. prayer, you know, and do it that way instead of, this is a spiritual discipline and you should do this. And just because in children, it's just different.
What I love about our church, though, is that everything kind of builds on itself, right? So, like, our kids are getting something that we're going to build on in preteen ministry, and our preteens are getting something that we're going to build on in student ministry, and our students are getting something that we're going to build on in college and on into adults. And everything just kind of builds up to, hopefully, a mature Christian that is making an impact.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, look, I think this has been a great discussion. I've enjoyed talking to each one of you about this, and I hope this helps somebody who's watching the video at home. So thanks for joining us, and we will see you on the next one.